Let us pray. Gracious God, we are your own, both lost and found. By your Spirit, find us and free us for your kingdom's work. Bless these words proclaimed and send your Spirit to stir our hearts that we would share in your rejoicing. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I have to say, I really enjoy being your pastor. I really do. It's been very good to be back and doing the things that a pastor does. To me, one of the best parts of this pastoral vocation is getting to visit with you fine folk. And this past week, I had a wonderful visit with Bernie and Alice. And just before we shared communion together, I read this text from the Gospel of Luke. Now, some of you know Bernie. He chuckled a bit as I was reading it, remembering their days of keeping sheep. I was delighted to hear the stories of what that would entail, because I have never kept sheep, and I love hearing people's stories. We talked about the origins of Machozen Day Fair and his work in the early days on the first Machozen Day Council, how the people of the community came together for a lamb and salmon barbecue, just like they do today, being taught how to roast the lamb on the iron spit from the sheep farmers on Salt Spring, and how local commercial fishermen donated the salmon for the first feast. It was, as it is today, an event of community groups coming together. And I imagine just being grateful to live in a place like this and wanting to celebrate that with one another. Now, he didn't have any stories about the joys of finding lost sheep, but he did recall a 4-H trip to another fair, the PNE, that he and Alice made with a group of youngsters from the Machozen 4-H a long time ago. A few of them, well, we might say they were rapscallions. When it came time to return to the bus after wandering the fairgrounds and feeling the kind of freedom that only a field trip to the big city can give a teenager, a few of them were nowhere to be found. They had neglected to come back to the flock at the agreed upon time. And so, much to his annoyance, Bernie had to venture out into the PNE fairgrounds in an attempt to round up the wayward youngsters to get them all headed back on the ferry that they had planned on catching and returning home. Now, he spotted one boy in the bleachers at the car rally, and as soon as the boy spotted him, he took off, probably hoping in vain to delay the precious getaway a bit longer. Who knows? But eventually, all the youth remembered who they were and why they were there in the first place, and that they were headed back home. And they were rounded up, and they headed back to the ferry. Now, reflecting back on that whole story, even with the frustrations of it, Bernie smiled and said, "It was all good." And Alice agreed. Sheep and shepherd, woman and coin, lost and found, sinner and sanctified. The parables in this week's Gospel of Luke continue to reveal God's nature to forgive and restore God's people to God's self. Jesus challenges those that question his boundaries to consider what it means to be included in community, freed from dualistic thinking, what it means to challenge and also uphold boundaries, and what it means as Jesus continues to describe beautiful paradox when it comes to the kingdom of God. God is like a woman who will turn her house upside down to find even just one coin that is, of course, already hers in the first place. God is like a shepherd who will search high and low for even just one sheep that is part of the flock. There are no bramble bushes, no deep ravines, no alleyways or hidden corners or closets of dogma, discrimination, or discomfort into which God will not find those who are lost, even just one. In the parable, the woman rejoices at finding her one lost coin, and the joy cannot be contained as she calls her friends, delighted to the core, "We have to celebrate. I found my coin that was lost." And just like that, says Jesus, the angels of God rejoice when even one person who is distanced finds nearness. Even when one of us remembers who we are and why we're here and where we're going and comes home, allowing God to embrace us and say, "You are mine. I love you. I would search and search the whole world if I had to, even for just one." Jesus told these parables as the crowds pressed in around him, crowds who embodied the diversity that forms community. People who were there for whatever reason that drew them there to hear Jesus teach, to monitor a radical, to feel included where they haven't been before. Here in the midst of such diversity, we find a group of people grumbling about what kind of people Jesus was busy finding, what kind of people Jesus was inviting to the table and eating with. These grumbling people who lived black and white, never quite noticing the shades of gray when it comes to reputation more than righteousness. These were religious people, sure that they themselves were in the safety of God's fold and safely deposited into God's change purse. Maybe they didn't realize that they too were the lost ones God yearned to gather in her arms. Did they know that God was turning the world upside down to find tax collectors and sinners as well as good religious people, to claim us all as God's own sheep, God's own precious coins? But that is what God did, and that is what God is doing. It is what God can be counted on for. From the beginning, God's Spirit has been sweeping through the world, seeking people to rejoice in belonging to God, whether we deserved it or not. And in Jesus, God really did do something to turn the whole world upside down. The God of the universe came among us as a human who lived and died as one of us, stretched out his arms to us from the cross to welcome and to fraternize and to feast with the lost and the least and the losers, even just one. God still yearns to gather us all up so that not even one more person ever feels lost, ever feels dehumanized, ever feels unloved or unworthy in the midst of all worldly systems and laws and theologies and religion that would place a great big divider separating right from wrong, in and out, worthy and unworthy. Not realizing that there is no divide where God resides, there is only the word "and," that Jesus, with the parables and paradox, stands upon as he teaches us who is God's precious own. Now, maybe it is significant that when the woman finds the coin that has been lost, she throws a celebratory party for all her friends. Hear the irony in that. The woman may be thorough and tenacious, but nobody could possibly accuse her of being miserly. She may be meticulous, but she is certainly not a wizard at home economics. She found one coin and then spent who knows how many to throw a party. Is that irony, or is that grace? If we are the coins in the story, so precious to God that even just one is worth everything, and the occasion of finding just one is cause for great celebration, then we are God's coins, and it could be argued that our lives are to be spent in the divine cause of seeking and finding and celebrating that which is God's. God doesn't just tuck us away in some safety deposit box, a heavenly coin collection waiting for our value to increase. God says, let's have a party now with all who are here. Right now, right in this time and this place, in our midst, in our world, gathered together around water and word and bread and wine. Even just one means everything to God. Even just one is cause for great celebration. Even just one who offers themselves to be spent for God's purposes is the currency of God's kingdom now and yet to come. In our worship this morning, we practice God's economics. We gather acknowledging that all we are and that all we have come from God, belongs to God, is loved by God, can be given and offered and spent for God. We offer our time, our talents, our money, and the produce of our hands and our minds in God's service here in this place, out in the neighborhood and in the world. Yesterday, I had the great honor of officiating at an interment at the cemetery at the old church. We thought maybe 5 people would come, but 30 friends, family, and loved ones stood on holy ground alongside a widow and a daughter and said goodbye to a man whose life and love are eternally interconnected with theirs. I reminded them that we are all interconnected. All of us. Not just humankind, but all of the earth and everything in it. It is all God's. Now, I don't think this family would consider themselves followers of Jesus. Maybe they'd be classified with the crowds of the Lucan text as sinners and tax collectors, who knows? People you wouldn't expect Jesus to be hanging out with, certainly not religious people. But what I do know is that we stood together among the trees and the wet grass and the air that still smelt like rain and an eagle soared above us as a loved one sang and played guitar, Amazing Grace. And the headstone that was so lovingly prepared was inscribed with the words, "The journey continues." Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem and is widening the net of whom he takes with him. Nobody is lost. All of us are found, even just one, even just you, even just me. Precious to God and precious here in God's time and in God's place. Amen.